The Old Testament lesson for the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels is written in the book of the prophet Daniel, chapters 10 and 12. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Written in the Revelation of St. John, chapter 12. Now a war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil, and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation, and the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives, even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Now a war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Well, a most blessed feast of St. Michael and all angels be unto you, dear ones. I must say it's a great joy for me to celebrate it with you today. I love this feast in particular because it so dramatically, powerfully readjusts our perspective as Christians. It reorients us and reminds us that there's so much more going on around us than we see or know. And this is healthy for us to recognize. There's so much more to our existence as human beings and even as the people of God than meets the eye. When you look at just our country in particular, or even just by itself, our lives here in Topeka, Kansas, and in the broader U.S. as a whole, it's easy for us to get fixated on the social and political upheaval that our country has endured over the last couple of years. It's so easy for us to get fixated on our own affairs, to be so absorbed in what's going on right in front of us, things that we need to attend to day by day, and what's transpiring here in our own backyard, that we lose sight of the fact that the world doesn't revolve around us. It doesn't. We are not the center of all things here in Topeka, Kansas. It's easy to forget that there are literally billions of other human beings across the planet who carry on each day just as we do. Although their life, their manner of life may be very, very different than ours. But Almighty God has also created them, just as he's created us. And for these others, they're also dependent on him, what he has to give to sustain them, and what they need to carry on in their own particular setting. This is all the world over. We are not the center of all things, as I said. And I may be going out on a limb here, but I think it stands to reason, then, dear ones, that if it can be easy for us to lose sight of the bigger picture when it comes to human affairs, how much more is this true when it comes to those of the cosmic powers and the principalities in the heavenly places? How easy is it for us to think little, if anything, about these things, about the unseen realm of the angelic beings, what goes on among them, and what this means for us as God's New Testament people, right? Well, today we have an opportunity to contemplate all of this, and our second lesson from the Revelation of St. John presents us with a simply staggering, breathtaking narrative description of what has been and is still unfolding because of our Savior's death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. Just a few verses prior to our text for tonight, we hear of a woman in Revelation chapter 12 giving birth to a male child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And I'll give you one guess as to who that is. It is, of course, the Lord Jesus. My son got it right. It is the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And so our text begins by describing something that just boggles the mind. A war arose in heaven. You see, dear ones, because the Lord Jesus has accomplished the salvation of the world, and he has ascended bodily into heaven, ascended far beyond all authority in heaven and on earth, to the right hand of God. This is not a location. This is a position of authority. The right hand, in the ancient world, the right hand of a king was his viceroy, the one who had all the power that the king had, the one whom would exercise rule in his stead. That is what the Lord Jesus has. The Son of God, of course, had all power and authority from eternity past, being equal to the Father. But now the Lord Jesus has received all authority in heaven and on earth as a man. As a man, he is above the angelic hosts, in charge of all the world, in heaven and on earth. This is where the Lord Jesus has come. And since then, he has redeemed us. Since he has ascended to the right hand of God, no longer is the devil permitted to profane the heavenly courts with his accusations against the saints. Heretofore, as best we can tell from the Holy Scriptures, you might remember from the book of Job, the sons of God, the angels, would come and present themselves in the heavenly court, and they would dialogue with one another. And the evil spirit, the devil, would go out and accuse the saints of God and tempt them to turn against him, right? Tempt the saints to do evil, to turn away from the ways of God. And he has polluted and profaned even the courts of heaven with this. But now that the Lord Jesus has accomplished our salvation, has ascended to the right hand of God, this is not permitted anymore. The devil can no longer come and accuse the saints before God, because God's own Son has shed his blood for the redemption of mankind. God will not permit the devil to profane that place anymore. Hence, he has been thrown down to the earth in great wrath, our text says, I might add. And why do you suppose that is? It's because he's been defeated. This is what the scriptures say. God has given Saint Michael and his angels to fight against the devil. This happened, and then the definitive victory was when they cast the devil and his hordes out of heaven, no longer to return. They are relegated here to the earth for a short time until the end, until the Lord Jesus comes and casts them into the abyss forever and ever, into the lake of fire, to be tormented day and night. This is what has happened. This is what has taken place in the heavenly places, far above all reason, all earthly rationale of men. This is not something that we could ever come up with on our own. If the scriptures did not reveal it, we would not believe it. It's hard to believe anyway, frankly. But this is what the scriptures say. The devil has come down to earth in great wrath, dear ones. Don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Don't lose sight of the bigger picture. I don't always name my homilies, but this one, I felt it would be necessary. Don't lose sight of the bigger picture. Saint Michael and his angels, the holy angels of God, having cast the devil down, they come and they fight for us, they help us, they protect us. This is what God has given them to do. Angels are ministering spirits for the sake of the elect, for you and me, for all those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus. They protect us. And God has not left us alone against such a fierce, supernatural foe, the one who is, we might say, the master of 1,000 arts. He is far more cunning and clever and cruel than we can possibly imagine. There is no hope for victory on our own against these foes. And so, as I said, the Lord our God has not left us alone. He's given these very, very powerful supernatural creatures, the angelic beings, charge over us to protect us, to help us in our time of need. They go out as servants, right? But here too, dear ones, we mustn't lose sight of the bigger picture. There are some things we must recognize about these angels whom God has sent to help us, to protect us in our fight against Satan. St. Michael and the rest of the angelic host are holy, chaste creatures. They are immensely powerful and yet humble enough to minister even to infants. These are holy beings that stand in the presence of God, that are charged with our protection. And so, then, dear ones, we must not give offense to these creatures. We must not offend them with the stench of pride, the foul odor of presumption. This drives the holy angels away, just like smoke drives away bees. We grieve the holy angels when we act in pride, when we think of ourselves more highly than we ought, when we actually imitate the character of the devil, that infernal serpent who was thrown out of heaven. This we must not do. We must not imitate the devil. We must repent of our pride. We must wash away that stench of pride by returning to the waters of our baptism, where we were cleansed, where we were made new, where we were sealed with the sign of the Holy Cross. This is what we must do. So don't lose sight of the bigger picture, dear ones. Our Lord is gracious. He is merciful. He has created the angelic beings for our help, for our benefit. And that is what they do. This is because of the mercy of our Lord, who gives them charge to do these things, even now, as I stand before you today. Give thanks that we have their help. And above all, give thanks to the Lord your God, that he has made known the depths of his love and care for you, especially in the Lord Jesus. And to the same Lord Jesus be all glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.